Good evening, I'm John Yang. The day after Iran used drones and missiles to carry out its first ever direct assault on Israel, diplomacy took center stage today. Leaders from the White House to capitals around the globe are scrambling tonight to try to keep this unfolding and perilous conflict from spiraling out of control. Tonight, our coverage begins with Nick Schifrin.
Above the holiest sites in one of the world's holiest cities, rockets lit up the night sky, and Israeli air defense blocked an unprecedented Iranian attack across all of Israel. The Israeli Defense Forces said it thwarted 99% of more than 300 drones and missiles, the majority launched from Iran, but some also came from Iranian-backed proxies in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. American officials say the U.S. shot down at least 75 of them, almost all in Jordanian airspace. Israel said the only missiles that entered Israeli airspace were ballistic, including one that wounded a 7-year-old girl. Israel reported no deaths and only minor damage to an Air Force base. Iran said they were responding to Israel's killing senior Iranian generals inside Iran's Damascus consulate and called the attack tit for tat.
From our point of view, this operation is over and there is no intention to continue the operation. But if the Zionist regime takes any action against the Islamic Republic, our next operation will be much larger.
By the light of day, Israelis return to normal, but the region is anything but. And Israel's leadership says the incident is very much not over.
We are still on high alert and assessing the situation. Over the last few hours, we approved operational plans for both offensive and defensive action.
But the U.S. is counseling restraint. President Biden and the leaders of the world's 7 largest industrialized nations warned Iran's attack could lead to, quote, uncontrollable escalation. They vowed to de-escalate. And in a phone call, Biden told Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu the U.S. would not take part in an Israeli retaliation. National Security spokesman John Kirby repeated that message this morning.
It's going to be up to the Israelis to decide what the next step is here. I will just say this. President Biden, since the beginning of this conflict, has worked very hard to keep this from becoming a broader regional war, to keep the tensions from escalating.
Senior administration officials said today the G7 group of countries could impose new coordinated sanctions, and other countries could join the U.S. in labeling the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps a terrorist group. That is the diplomatic focus, John, that the U.S. wants, of course, but the major focus we are waiting for, the major response we're waiting for, is Israel's military response.
Nick, let's start by looking back at last night with this really remarkable effect of Israel blunting this attack. The United States did move some U.S. assets into the region. How important were they in this operation?
President Biden himself said it was absolutely essential. Over the last 10 days, Israel and the United States have been working coordinated on this response, a senior administration official said, and that included moving fighter squadrons into better positions, and those fighter squadrons shot down more than 70 drones. The U.S. also moved an additional destroyer into the region to join a destroyer already there, and that helped shoot down 4 or 6 of those 100-plus ballistic missiles fired by Iran toward Israel. We know of no previous occasion in U.S.-Israeli history in which the U.S. launched jets during an attack on Israel or fired missiles from boats during an attack on Israel. Strategically, the reason that is so important, John, is that a senior administration official said that if this attack had succeeded, there would have been, quote, uncontrollable escalation and a broader regional conflict. The U.S. assesses that this attack was absolutely designed to kill Israelis and inflict widespread damage, and the fact is it didn't. And if that had happened, the assumption is that Israel and Iran perhaps might be at war already.
Looking forward, as Israel does ponder what to do next, what are the factors they're weighing, and what's the United States telling them?
Israeli media already reported that there was a quick cabinet meeting last night in which Israeli leaders considered an immediate strike, but that the Biden-Bibi phone call, the Netanyahu-Biden phone call, seems to have tamped down the possibility of that. And Israeli officials today are saying they will strike whenever they deem it proper to strike. There are many military options for Israel, of course, inside Iran itself, whether whether that's Iranian government, IRGC, the nuclear sites even. But a senior administration official said two important things today. One, Israel's made clear to us they are not looking for a significant escalation with Iran. If that is accurate, that means that they are not looking to strike directly against Iran, at least at the moment. And two, a senior administration official said very bluntly, we would not be part of any response they do. That is longstanding U.S. policy. But still, to say that is really to send the message to Israel, if you're going to do this, or especially if you're going to attack Iran, you would be on your own. And part of what the administration says it's trying to do is, quote, slow things down. And that, as you said at the top, is a focus on diplomacy. The U.S. hopes to isolate Iran through some of those sanctions and perhaps terrorism designations as well. And the flip of that is less isolation, they hope, on Israel. You've seen in the last few hours the European Union diplomats and the UN diplomats who have been very critical of Israel over the war in Gaza support Israel and then condemn Iran in no uncertain ways. And so that is where we are today, with the U.S. focused on diplomacy, President Herzog of Israel saying, quote, we are not war seekers, but we'll see how Israel chooses to respond.
Nick Schifrin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's bring in Aaron David Miller. He's a senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He's played a key role in U.S. Middle East policy for every president from Jimmy Carter to George W. Bush. Aaron, as Israel ponders its next move, how significant is it that this attack, as administration officials are saying, this attack was on the high side of what they were expecting, and yet Israel was really able to blunt it, that it caused relatively little damage?
Well, I think it's an extraordinary testament, frankly, to technology. Iron Dome and Arrow 3, which is the latest Arrow iteration, plus a significant amount of help from U.S. aircraft and Israeli aircraft. I mean, 350 crews, ballistic and pilotless drones. It's sort of a milestone, I would think, in modern warfare. Given the effectiveness of the Israeli layered defenses. So I think that's quite extraordinary.
And it's been reported that President Biden advised Prime Minister Netanyahu last night to take the win and do nothing. What do you think of that advice?
You know, I think that the president does not want to see an escalation, let alone something that could trip into a real regional war, which would be exchanges over a sustained period of time between Israel and Iran with ballistic missiles, a major flare-up turning into a major war between Israel and Hezbollah, and Hezbollah can cover most of Israel with its high-trajectory weapons. And I suspect Mr. Biden also understands that in a scenario like that, prospects of U.S. involvement are pretty high. So he's given the Israeli prime minister the best advice he can, pocket the win. You're now occupying the moral high ground. Tensions between the U.S. and Israel have essentially eased. Nobody's talking about conditioning military assistance or restricting it, let alone ending it to Israel. All of that, I think, is being taken seriously by the Israeli war cabinet.
You know, Iran said last night that this sort of closes the door on the Syrian attack strike that started this, that they were responding to. If Iran isn't going to do more, what about their proxies? What about the Houthis? What about Hezbollah? Are they likely to step up?
I think those attacks will continue, but I do believe, and Iran has a vote, but the Israelis have a vote as well, so it's well and good for the Iranians to say we're done, but they're not the only party involved in this. I suspect that pro-Iranian militias, at least for the short term, won't give the Israelis any pretext or excuse for responding, but I do think, and the war cabinet's divided on this, I think everyone, including the five, including Benny Gantz, believes the response is necessary. The timing of that response, I think, is up in the air, and the scale of that response is up in the air. So I think Israel will capitalize now on the fact that they've got an enormous... The G7 statement was extraordinary in terms of its support for Israel. No concern over Israeli strikes. A strong statement that also appeared to isolate Iran. So I think the Israelis will ride that for a while. But at some point, I think there will be an accounting, and it probably will be directed at Iranian assets in Iran.
What does all this do to the war in Gaza, and especially the negotiations to try to get the hostages back?
I think there it's a serious tragedy on the part of the hostages and their families. Hamas had no real incentive. They believe that pressure on Israel, Israeli withdrawal of forces from Gaza was working in their favor. They were delaying, hoping to get a better deal. And frankly, I'm not sure the Netanyahu government felt all that much urgency, given the fact that any deal for free hostages is going to result in an asymmetrical number of Palestinian prisoners freed, which is going to stress Mr. Netanyahu's own coalition. But I think Hamas now will wait to see how much chaos and confrontation and confusion will result from this potential Iranian-Israeli fight. And I suspect there'll be no deal on hostages and probably no operation against Rafah either. But Gaza still will be the focus because of its proximity problem. And the Israelis have hostages, and they're still determined, I think, to eliminate the senior leadership.
Aaron David Miller, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.